It is a great blessing to be here with you. Great to see you. We have so many reasons to be grateful. I think about people that are members of our congregation who are struggling physically, and I am thankful to be able to be here. Thankful to be as healthy as I think I am. And thinking that means a lot. But some of you are here and you're struggling. And I can't tell you how grateful I am to see you and how important those people that are in hospitals and are at home, in a home where they are receiving help, how thankful I am for them and the blessing that they are to me. Bill and I were headed to the hospital on Friday. I was driving out White Street with him, and he said, "We may need to change our plans." And I said, "What are you talking about?" And he told me about the accident in Nashville. I had not heard about it at that point. And I thought, oh, wow, he's getting ready to tell me about Cora and some other students. And as we began to hear news, can't tell you how grateful I was that so many of our young people were not on the bus that turned over. Cora was one of those. I was grateful for that, but my heart continues to ache for everybody that was on the other bus. And I can't imagine the difficulty that they experienced with the accident and the fear that went through their minds during and after the accident. And I am so sad about that even today. I did not know until just a few moments ago that Bailey Smith and Nathan Greer are some of our young folks that were on the bus. And we're just so thankful that things are as good as they are. We wish they were better for some, but things are as good as we could expect after an accident like that. So grateful for parents who immediately went there, for many people who helped. We have a lot to be thankful for. This morning, as I think about our worship, I am so grateful this morning for opportunities. I apparently do not have my slide presentation loaded. I thought I put it on Dropbox, but maybe it's not there. But if there were a slide up there, if you could imagine a topic, a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And if you could imagine on the screen the verse put back up there that was read for us a little while ago, there would be several things that I would want to call to your attention this morning about calling on the name of the Lord. I've invited several men to help me by leading prayers this morning as we worship together. Prayers of thanksgiving. And as we worship together today, I am so grateful that we have the opportunity to be joyous in our thanksgiving. I am so excited about being able to be here. I'm so excited about being able to express thanks today in a special way. But I have a problem, as many of you do. I say I love the Lord. That's what the psalmist said. The psalmist said, "I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplication." I cry out to God all the time. I plead with God for things to happen the way I want them to happen. I think sometimes people feel guilty and selfish asking for life to be a certain way. God says, let your requests be made known to God. He wants to know what we think is important enough to pray about. I love the Lord because he listens to what I think is important. I prayed virtually all day long yesterday for the people who were injured, for the psychological nature of all of those people that were involved and those who watched from another bus. I wanted the Lord to know I was concerned. And this morning I stand before you believing he heard my concern. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplication, because he has inclined his ear to me. Now, what's hard for me is that next verse, next phrase. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. That is so hard. Because you see, a bus accident doesn't happen every day. I'm going to guess some of you young people prayed harder than you've prayed in a while. Those of you that experienced that accident, those of you who had close friends in that accident, you parents that had children on those buses, you prayed harder than you've prayed in a while. But you know what? A bus accident doesn't happen every day. But I keep receiving blessings every day. I keep seeing things that God sends my way, people that God sends my way, opportunities that God sends my way, and I forget about deciding to call upon the name of the Lord as long as I live. Because you see, sometimes I put off praying until I get ready to go to bed, and then I fall asleep and I don't get it done. Well, I get up in the morning and I decide I'm going to pray and thank God for everything that happened yesterday because I fell asleep last night and everything that's coming to me today, and I am so busy. The phone rings. I'm under pressure to do what I want to do to get ready to go to school and get started, and I don't get it done in the morning either sometimes. I forget about my commitment calling the name of the Lord as long as I live. That's why I've underlined what is underlined on the screen in front of you, the sacrifice of thanksgiving. This morning as I was thinking about what God requires of us in giving up ourselves. I am one of the most selfish people you know. It is hard for me to give up myself. Hard for me to be who I really want to be because of my selfish nature. And so thanksgiving becomes a sacrifice. I have to give up me. I have to give up what I want. I have to give up time for what I want to do. I may want to sleep a little longer. I may want to watch a ball game. I may want to hurry up and get this done before I go to school. And so thanksgiving becomes a sacrifice. One Thanksgiving, a family was seated around their table, and they were looking at the holiday bird. From the oldest to the youngest, they were to express their praise. And when they came to the five-year-old in the family, he began looking at the turkey and expressing his thanks to the turkey, saying although he had not yet tasted it, he knew it was going to be good. After that rather novel expression of thanksgiving, he began with a more predictable line of credits, thanking his mom for cooking the turkey, thanking his father for buying the turkey. But then he went beyond that. He joined together a whole multitude of benefactors, linking them with cause and effect. He said, I thank you for the checker at the grocery store who checked out the turkey. I thank you for the grocery store people who put it on the shelf. I thank you for the farmer who made it fat. I thank you for the man who made the feed. I thank you for those who brought the turkey to the store. This illustration says, using his Columbo-like little mind, he traced the turkey all the way from its origin to its plate. And then at the end, he solemnly asked his family, did I leave anybody out? His little two-year-old brother, seemingly embarrassed by the proceedings, said, God. Solemnly and without being flustered at all, the little five-year-old said, I was about to get to him. Isn't that the question for all of us? Are we about to get to him? In the next little bit, I want us to think about sacrificing a little bit of time this morning. We ought to be willing to sacrifice the whole afternoon, as much as we possess, as much as God has blessed us with today. We ought to be ready to sacrifice the whole afternoon, every one of us. As hungry as you are, as tired as you are, as frustrated about life as you are, as bad as you feel this morning, if you aren't feeling well, we all are so blessed. We ought to be willing to sacrifice to give thanks to God. Dexter Burns is going to lead us in a prayer in just a moment for thanking God for our blessings, physical blessings, that we have so many of. As we think about John 6, verse 11 and verse 23, simple things. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise the fish, as much as they wanted. However, other boats came from Tiberias near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. We need to be people who take time to give thanks to God for our physical blessings.
Shall we pray? Dear Lord, we come to you this morning thanking you so much for all the physical blessings we have. We're thankful for your physical church that we're able to worship here with other members of this congregation, and not only this congregation, but throughout the world. We're thankful for the protection we receive from our government to be able to be here and to worship openly and to express our beliefs. We're thankful for our families. We're thankful for our friends. As mentioned earlier, we're very thankful for the health that we have. We're thankful for the health of the students that were in the accident the other day, and that it wasn't as bad as it could have been. We're thankful for those who care for us, for the first responders, for the doctors, for our families who care for us when we don't feel well. We're thankful for the food that we eat. It helps nourish our bodies and help us to do your will. We're thankful for the beauty of this earth, the cool air, the warm sun, the rain, the wind, the trees, the birds, and the animals. We're thankful for the beauty of the sky. We look up it, and we see the sun up there. At night, we see the moon, the stars, and the planets. We're thankful for the homes that we live in, and not only the homes, the houses, the people who make up our homes. We're thankful for the jobs that we have, that we can earn income to get not only the things that we need, but a lot of the things we also want. So at this time, Lord, we're especially thankful for all these physical blessings you have given us. In his name we pray. Amen.
We possess so much. It's hard for us to continually pray to the Lord. But God is good. You hear a lot of people say, God is good all the time. Sometimes it doesn't seem like God is good. If you could watch people that we love struggle for breath, it's hard. And I'm confident it's hard to understand just how good God is. When you see people who hurt continually, because of arthritis, because of some physical problem, it's hard to think about the goodness of God and all that we possess. But as we think about God's goodness and mercy, I've asked Michael Burton to lead us in a prayer of thanks for God's goodness and God's mercy. This great passage from the book of 1 Chronicles in chapter 16 and verse 34 is something we need to keep in our hearts and in our minds, in our lives, regularly. Because without God's goodness and mercy, none of us could survive physically or spiritually. And God is so good, in spite of our shortcomings, his goodness and his mercy continue to come to us. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, let's pray this morning for getting up, seeing this beautiful great green earth, making it to church safe and sound. Let us pray for the military and for all their families that is over fighting for our freedom to keep us safe and sound. Let us pray for all of the young children that was in the bus in Nashville, for all of their families. Dear Lord, we know that next week is Thanksgiving. Let us pray that everybody be safe, sound, wherever they're going, and they make it back safe and sound. Amen.
This morning, we're together not because Roy Sharp is here to speak. Lord willing, we'll be back together this afternoon, not because Billy Smith is here to speak. Not because the elders just like to gather a bunch of people around so that they could say they've called us together. But we're here because we are God's family. We are people who are born again. Not born again physically, but born again spiritually. People who have died to sin, in that we've been separated from sin because of God's goodness. His blood cleanses us from all sin. We're here to honor God, to praise God, but we are here also to encourage each other, to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs as we sing and make melody in our heart to the Lord. We're here to be a blessing to each other, to encourage each other, to learn about the difficulties that families are facing, to help each other think we need to be God's people every day, living the way God wants us to live every day, encouraging people to be at worship. And the more that you see those days approaching, we need to be encouraging each other not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Why? Because the Lord wants His family to come together. He wants His family to worship Him. He wants His family to love each other. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 2, something that Paul said often was about his care and his concern for the church. We need to be praying for each other. Lots of challenges, lots of difficulties to be faced. Things we have no idea about today will come tomorrow. And we need to be thoughtful and careful about life. And we need to be thankful, as Paul was when he said about the Thessalonian brethren, "We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers." My hope is that we will sacrifice some of our time to thank God for each other and to pray for each other. I've asked Brad Cochran to lead us in a prayer thinking about the Lord's family, the church.
Will you pray with me? Our Almighty God, we're humble in your presence to approach your name of grace and mercy. We're so thankful for the plan of salvation that through obedience to your will that we can be in your church, in your body. We're thankful for the organizational leadership that you plan for our elders, our deacons, our teachers, and members, all who work in your vineyard. We pray for one another. Dear God, we all have trials and struggles in our life. Help us to understand that we are to take these trials and our struggles and to build upon our faith. Help us to understand that we're to study your word and grow stronger in your word. And we are here placed upon this earth for a reason, and in your church for a reason, and in your body. That is, we may share the gospel with others. Help us to love one another and love you more. We're so thankful for your word to guide us. We pray for all people everywhere. Help us to rejoice evermore. Pray for all things in your name. And dear Lord, we pray that your will be done in our lives. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
In God's kingdom, I've mentioned God wants us to let our requests be made known to God. And it is through that and through understanding that God sends us blessings. Sometimes they don't seem like blessings to us. The Bible teaches us that the Lord chastens those that He loves. My mom chastened me quite often when I was growing up. I needed it even more than she chastened. It was hard for me to think as she had a switch in her hand or a belt in her hand or just a hand in her hand that she loved me and that she cared about me. And she was seeking for me to be better and that she was trying to do all that she could for God to answer the prayer for me to be a good boy and grow into a good man. God answers our prayers in ways that we don't like sometimes, but for our own good. We need chastening. We need something to remind us that we have committed to pray to God always and that we're to thank God always for every good gift. God can give us 50 good gifts and then something comes to us that we don't like. And we feel like God has left us. May we be grateful for God giving us the blessings that we need and answering our prayers in the greatest ways that we need. Jesus prayed regularly. In chapter 11 and verse 41 of the book of John, they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you heard me." How long has it been since you prayed and gave thanks to God because you believe that he heard you? I've asked Jason Deffenbaugh to lead us in a prayer of thanks for our answered prayers.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for hearing our prayers. We're thankful for the opportunity that we are able to sit at your feet and you are there to listen to us. All too often in our prayers, we ask for things that we need, the blessings that we receive and thanksgiving for those things, but not nearly enough do we thank you for simply hearing us. Simply listening to our prayers, and oftentimes, as Roy mentioned, sometimes those answers don't go the way we want. But we know that your will is at work in our lives, and that those things that happen are mostly for good in our lives, and help us to realize that. We're thankful for the answered prayers that we have with people who are hurting. The people who have, like the bus accident, the people who were not injured that are recovering, and we thank you for those things. We thank you for answering our prayers and giving us the opportunity to even speak with you. Help us in our own lives to take more opportunities to do that, because we know in your plan everything is greater than we can imagine, and that just simply praying to you helps us be strengthened. And that as we see those things that we pray for play out in our lives, that the answers we receive are just what we needed. We thank you again for prayer. It's through your Son's name we pray. Amen.
We have so many privileges as God's people, so many things that we need. Among the greatest things that we need is what we have just observed a little while ago. We need something to call us out of the world and back into a frame of mind to think about what the Lord has done for us. I've mentioned how hard it is for me to pray sometimes. How hard is it to make the decisions to live for the Lord the way that we should? How hard is it for us to give up ourselves right now? It's still a pressure for some of us to give up this time to pray, to think, to seek God's blessings. Wouldn't it be great if every one of us was just overwhelmed to give up the rest of this day totally to the Lord? I wonder what would happen. I wonder what our lives would be like if every one of us would give ourselves totally over to the Lord today. You know, I have a feeling that for some of you, it wouldn't change your life at all. Because giving oneself up for the Lord doesn't mean that you don't ever turn a TV on, you don't ever pick up a phone, you don't ever eat a meal, you don't ever do some of the routine things that we do in life. But it does mean that we are going to be thinking spiritually with every decision that we make. Who our friends are, where we go, what we do, how we do, how we communicate, all the kinds of things that we choose to do. Will I worship? Will I not? Will I? And we can just name so many things that we need to think about as we give ourselves up for the Lord. The Lord's Supper was designed to call us to think about an awesome event that wasn't intended to be just for the moment. It really was an earth-shaking event. It took the light right out of the sky for a while. There were people that came up from the grave. The curtain of the temple was torn in two that had separated that most holy place for so long. There were so many events that happened at that moment that if we had been at that place, we would have been overwhelmed. What God would like is for us to be overwhelmed when we think about the body of Christ, when we think about the blood of Christ, when we think about the suffering that was done physically, and that was awesome. It is not possible, I don't think, to overstate the physical suffering Jesus went through. But we ought to be overwhelmed when we hear the words, my God, why have you forsaken me? When we think about the spiritual death the Lord had to suffer in my place and yours, it's hard to be overwhelmed because, you see, today, so far as I know, I'm healthy. So far as I know, in a few minutes, I will eat a good lunch. Today, so far as I know, I'll be back here with many of you to worship again at 5. It's hard to really think about the sacrifice of the spiritual death. Our minds can go to seeing Jesus being beaten, to him sweating drops of blood in the garden, for him to be begging for God to let this cup pass from him. We can think about that. But how hard is it for us to think about being lost eternally without God? We need the Lord's Supper. Paul said, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. I've asked Ethan Hardin to lead us in a prayer, encouraging us to be ever so grateful that God has planned this ceremony for us.
Let's pray together. Holy Father, Almighty God, Creator of all things, at this moment we are overwhelmed. when we think about the greatness of who you are and of your Son. When we think about our unworthiness, we think about the things that we have done to tear ourselves away from you. And at the same time, as we think about the celebration that you have given for us to remember every first day of the week, we know that we are forgetful people. We admit to you, Father, that we are forgetful of so many things. And as we've heard this morning, we forget to give you thanks. But thank you, Father, for giving us this memorial feast every first day of the week to remind us of whose we are and what it took for us to be bought back to be with you. Father, we also are so thankful to you for what it means, both individually for us, that Jesus conquered death through his sacrifice, that he conquered death through his suffering, that he went through everything that he went through on an individual basis for each one of us. But also, Father, we're thankful that you unite us together through that meal, through that celebration, that as Jesus said, we are made one body. That through this sacrifice and through the Lord's Supper, we proclaim that we are unified. If all races, all nations, all people who are found in you are unified through that death, burial, and resurrection, and through this Lord's Supper that we get to celebrate together. And we're reminded of that, and we're thankful that people across this world, those going through persecution, those who are here, who are safe, those who don't speak the same language, all on the first day of the week, we all celebrate together and we're unified together. And we know that all of us together love you and are made one through Jesus. Father, we're thankful that in this celebration, we're reminded that if God is for us, who can be against us? That if you didn't spare your own Son, but you gave him up for us all, we know that you will graciously give us all things. Thank you, Father, for loving us enough and giving us this reminder every week that if you loved us enough to give up your one and only Son, that whatever we face this week, whatever failings we have, whatever temptations we face, whatever struggles that we go through, thank you, Father, that you've shown us and that you show us every week that there's nothing that you will not do for us. There's no sin that you will not conquer in our lives if we hand it over to you. That there is no struggle that is not too big for you to take it in your hands and lift it off of us. There is no power on this earth or in heaven or below that can separate us from you. Thank you, Holy Father. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Trying to advance that slide one time just to have on there thanks for changed lives. We need to be grateful that the Lord is willing to let us change. He's willing to help us turn from where we are to where we need to be, if that's the case. And so Paul, as he wrote to the church in Thessalonica, said, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. For you, brethren, became imitators of the church of God, which are in Judea in Jesus Christ. You also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans." God permits us to be imitators of godly people. I'm so grateful I had godly people in my life. I'm so thankful for a godly mom. So thankful for godly ministers through the years, for godly Bible teachers. And you see several of those that have influenced me unthinkably are right in this room today. And I'm so grateful that you have permitted me to grow up a little bit. I was 24 years old when I first stepped foot on campus as a teacher at Freed Hardeman University. I'm not exactly 24 anymore, but I thank God for people who permitted me. Brother Gardner's in this room. He is one who permitted me to come as the president. so many blessings in my life have come, but the opportunity to grow up, to change, to think about things that I ought to think about. Today, if you're in this room and you're not a Christian and you already know you need to be baptized, but for whatever reason you haven't been, you need to be giving thanks to God this moment that you still have life and a chance to be born into the family of God. If you're a child of God and you're not faithful to God, you need to give thanks to God now that you still are here and you have a chance to respond to the Lord and make things right, so that your eternity can be right. We have so many reasons to be thankful today. If one of those, you're thankful that you have a chance to respond and you know you need to, that's our encouragement to you to please come as we stand and as we sing.